Well, good morning, everyone. Been advised that we may have presently in the courtroom a judge or a group of judges from Ukraine. And if they are here, welcome. And if they're not here yet, maybe somebody will tell us when they arrive. Okay. We're going to hear nine cases today. We have nine cases on the docket today. First one is Norani versus Gonzalez, appeal number 04-3682. Ms. Olinger.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Fire away.
May it please the court, counsel. Your Honors, this case is before this court because normally when the Board of Immigration Appeals denies an alien's motion to reopen an in absentia deportation order, that decision is accorded broad discretion. But this court has also held that where the decision is made either without rational explanation or it departs from established policy of the board without explanation, such a decision cannot be sustained. Mr. Norani was deported in absentia after an inability to attend his individual hearing. And the inability stemmed from what the government...
Well, he had the flu. I don't know if that's inability to attend, is it? It doesn't sound like a crisis situation.
Your Honor, the regulations recognize that there are some instances in which there exist what they call exceptional circumstances such that somebody cannot attend a hearing. And the regulations also recognize that there are times where a hearing may need to be continued. So there's something that a respondent can do prospectively, and there's something that a respondent can try to do remedially where he is not at his deportation hearing. In Mr. Norani's case, with an appropriate amount of due diligence, he attempted several days before his hearing to contact his attorney of record, who for over a year in proceedings had fairly diligently represented him, and he had every reason to believe that she would continue to do so. He attempted to communicate to the immigration court through his attorney that he was quite ill. Had he waited until the day of the hearing to first say, "I'm sick and I cannot be there," arguably a court would understandably say, "You know, why didn't you give us a heads up about this?"
Tell me about these telephone calls he said he placed to his attorney and what the attorney had to say about that.
Your Honor, part of the problem is that the attorney said nothing about that. So when Mr. Norani did not appear for his deportation hearing, he learned that he had been ordered deported in absentia. He subsequently met with his attorney of record, the same attorney who, by the way, also, for reasons that have never been explained, did not show up at the individual hearing. That attorney, as indicated in the record, stated that Mr. Norani was sick. She, not recognizing what at that point should have been an obvious inherent ethical obligation to continue representing somebody whom she had failed to represent sufficiently, when she moved to reopen proceedings, merely stated, "Mr. Norani has been sick," and appended a letter from a clinic that he had gone to see the Friday before the hearing.
It was like 4 or 5 days before.
Yes, Your Honor.
But he had the flu 4 or 5 days before the scheduled date of the hearing.
And he was sick before the hearing, Your Honor, yes, and there is evidence in the record as to that, and there is also evidence in the record when Mr. Norani was appealing the motion to reopen that which was never put forth to the immigration court included his attempts to contact his attorney while he was sick.
On this note from the clinic, though, it didn't give any indication of how long he might be ill or that he might be incapacitated for several days. Was there anything like that in the note other than saying he had been treated?
There is not in the record, Your Honor, no. I think it would be, if the physician did not respond in a way that was clear enough for an immigration court to understand how long somebody would be sick, that's both understandable and probably logical. I mean, I don't think that this letter was written with an eye towards making sure that an immigration court or an appeals court understood how long the individual was going to be sick. I mean, sometimes you just can't tell. I'm not sure that Mr. Narani at the time knew how long he was going to be ill.
Can we talk about that bar complaint? Because the bar complaint, when it was filed, apparently the information was not conveyed to the BIA, right?
Your Honor, yes, I must agree that
they were filed, and so they weren't part of the administrative record.
There is not confirmation in the administrative record that the bar complaint was filed. That is correct, Your Honor. If I may, I would like to specifically address the Lozada requirements, because Lozada is often cited for that which, in fact, it doesn't actually state. The Lozada case, the Board of Immigration Appeals there sets out both a general rule and then a specific rule that apply to the particular facts of Mr. Lozada's claim. So in Lozada, as a general rule, and with the Court's permission, I would just like to read something from that decision on page 639. A motion based upon claim of ineffective assistance of counsel should be supported by an affidavit of the allegedly aggrieved respondent attesting to the relevant facts, period. That is the general rule. In particular, the court then goes on to say, in the case before us, because the question was, did the alien or did the alien not hire an attorney to write a BIA brief, in that case, what the affidavit needed to include was the terms of the representation. That does not mean that every alien who is claiming ineffective assistance of counsel has to set forth the details of the representation, and certainly not in a case where it's manifest from the administrative record that there was no question that an attorney had entered her appearance and was making appearances and was advocating up until the critical juncture on behalf of her client. The other thing that Lozada requests is that the motion should reflect whether a complaint has been filed with the appropriate disciplinary authorities regarding such representation, and if not, why not? And again, here, there are certain instances where Lozada would require an affidavit. They're not asking for an affidavit here. They're not asking for even a copy of the bar complaint here. And
well,
in fact,
they're asking for, if it hadn't been filed, why not?
Well, it's, with all due respect, Your Honor, my reading of the plain language indicates it should reflect whether a complaint has been filed. And in the appeal to the BIA, that appeal did reflect that the respondent had completed his bar grievance form, that it was in the process of being filed, and that such confirmation would subsequently be forwarded to the BIA. There's also no question that subsequent confirmation, for reasons that I suppose are outside of this record, are not contained within the administrative record. Mm-hmm. But it does reflect what was done. And it also, the third Lozada requirement, which is that the counsel be advised of the complaints against her and given an opportunity to respond, that was also done in the appellate brief with a certification from the appellate attorney that he was in fact forwarding the appellate brief as well as the notice of appeal such that Ms. Carbide could respond if she chose to do so.
Was there ever any response?
There is a response, Your Honor. Again, it is not part of the administrative
record.
It was part of the habeas proceedings, but that is not where we are now. If I may address the issue.
We're going to address the issue, but you got about a minute left of your whole entire time, including rebuttal.
Then I will save that minute for rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Verby.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Russell Verby, on behalf of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. This case has two basic issues. First, whether Mr. Durrani's failure to appear at his removal hearing was justified by exceptional circumstances. And second, whether the board abused its discretion by rejecting Mr. Durrani's ineffective assistance of counsel claim for procedural reasons. Mr. Durrani claimed that he did not appear before the immigration court as ordered because he was ill and following a doctor's direction to get some rest. Admittedly, a serious illness can rise to the level of an exceptional circumstance, but in this case, Mr. Durrani did not offer sufficient proof that he was indeed suffering from the serious illness on the day of his hearing. The hearing was set for April 9th of 2002. Mr. Durrani submits a letter that says he appeared at a health clinic suffering from dehydration and flu-like symptoms on April 5th, 4 days before his hearing. And the letter is unusual in a couple of respects. First, it's undated. It was obviously written after the fact to justify the motion for reopening. But what it's also unusual for is that it doesn't describe any course of treatment other than get some rest. It doesn't describe any medicines prescribed or any efforts taken to relieve the dehydration this alien was supposedly suffering. So, in the end, Mr. Durrani, who had the burden in this case, has failed to show that his illness was so severe on April 9th, 2002, as to render his appearance or his failure to appear justified by exceptional circumstances. And I'd like to address the ineffective assistance of counsel claim. The procedural steps set up by the Lozada decision are very simple, and they are necessary to aid the board in its efforts to weed out aliens who are simply grasping at straws from those with meritorious ineffective assistance of counsel claims. In this case, Mr. Durrani did not comply with the Lozada requirements. He did not indicate whether a bar complaint was filed, and if one hadn't been filed, explain why it hadn't been filed.
Well, apparently he had documentation, but they were not part of the administrative record.
If you look at the administrative record closely, Your Honor, it seems that the brief to the board was filed in September of 2002. The bar complaint, from as near as I can figure, looks like it wasn't filed until after the brief had been filed. And then we had some confirmation coming back and the response coming back in November of 2002. But again, Your Honor, all of that is not in the administrative record. It may be part of the habeas record, but we have to evaluate this case as the record stood before the board. And when it was reviewed by the board, there was neither a representation that the bar complaint had been filed nor an explanation of why one hadn't been filed. So the board rejected it for procedural reasons, and in this record, as it stood at that time, this can't be an abuse of discretion. If this counsel wanted to get that information to the board, all they had to do was either supplement the record while the case was still pending before the board, or when the board issued its decision in October of 2003, simply file a motion for reconsideration. You have 30 days from that date with the information you've had since November of 2002 to say, I'm sorry, I didn't give this to you earlier, but please reconsider in light of this new evidence that I have. And here it is. That would have been the proper way to get it before the board, but that wasn't been done. So for procedural reasons, the board's decision must stand. If there are no further questions, that will conclude the Attorney General's presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Ellinger, we'll give you one more minute.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And why don't you speak to that point that he made, that a supplemental motion could have been filed or a new motion to reopen with the complaint?
Your Honor, I do not dispute. Certainly, in hindsight, there are many things that could have been done. Addressing what the procedural requirements of Lozada actually are, to the extent that they require that Lozada speaks about a motion to reopen, but here in the appeal of the denial of a motion to reopen, the alien must state whether a complaint is filed. If not, why not? In the appeal, it was stated that the complaint was being filed, that all of this was being forwarded to the former attorney. There was no reason to explain why it was not being done, because they did make the representation that the complaint to the appropriate disciplinary tribunal was being made. Lozada does not require a particular type of proof. Again, I would direct the court to the specific language of the Lozada decision in terms of Mr. Narani's compliance with those procedural requirements. My time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You came all the way from Dallas.
Yes, sir.
With us. Well, have a nice trip back, and thank you for your fine work in this case, both sides. The second case.